time is it? Good afternoon. Don't know whether to say morning or afternoon. It's well in the afternoon now, and I want to say how thankful I am to be here, how thankful I am to feel the presence of the Lord with us today. I'm thankful for Brother Corey, for his friendship, and for his faithfulness to the Lord that I've seen in his life, and I pray that would continue until the Lord calls him home. It's been a joy to be here. I hope that you feel that in your heart. God has just ministered to my heart so much, and I've been able to rejoice and give thanks to God, for He's so good. And it's good to see multiple generations of a family serving the Lord. That's the way God wants it to be, and it's a blessing to see that. I'm thankful for the words of truth that we've already heard, both in the first sermon that was preached to us, and to the interrogation, to the simple, essential, profound truths of the Word of God. And I'm thankful for Corey and his ability to articulate those, for his time that he's obviously spent in the book and on his knees. It's blessed my heart today. I don't know what it was, but when Brother Tim asked him if he loved the Lord Jesus and he loved his church, that question, so simple yet so profound, is one I think we should ask ourselves today. Do we love the Lord Jesus? That was what Jesus asked Peter in his restoration. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter? We certainly, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And so, this thankful for the proceedings of this service thus far and the way the Lord has blessed me. Thankful for the prayer that we were able to have, that Brother Aaron led us in. There's something powerful about brothers and sisters in Christ praying together and agreeing with one accord in the things of God. It was a powerful prayer. I'm thankful that God met with us and we were able to unite our hearts together in those things that were offered up in prayer to the Lord. It's been good. My heart's just full. Ask for your prayers. A little physically ill today. I hope that doesn't become a distraction or take away from what we're trying to accomplish today. So ask for your prayers in that. There's obviously more able men that could stand and deliver this charge today, but really, it's never been about the ableness of the man that's standing. It's about the power of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so I pray today that despite the vessel, God would speak His words to our hearts and to our minds, and that they would be powerful and that they would be accompanied by the Holy Spirit today. So pray to that end. I'd like to read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I encourage you to follow along with us if you have a copy of the scripture. If not, please just give your attention to His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to begin at the 19th verse, and we will read the rest of that chapter. Paul here is talking about his own ministry, but the truths and the instructions are applicable to Christian service in every way. And so these things are applicable to everyone, and certainly I want to charge Brother Corey today with some of the things that are mentioned here. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And we'll stop our reading there. And if you would just bow with me in prayer for a moment. Holy Father, my God and my King, my rock and my refuge, I'm thankful for the privilege of prayer today, God, that we can come to you and approach your throne of grace boldly because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. And we come before you today thankful for this service, thankful for Brother Corey, thankful for the Church of the True and Living God and how you've set it up and the good truths of your word that have been declared to our hearts today. I'm thankful, Lord, for this gathering, for the churches that are represented, for the men and women that have stood as good examples to me in my life. I pray that you would bless them, their homes, their families, their churches. I pray that we would see revival break out amongst us, Lord, that we'd see souls saved and people dedicating their lives to the service of your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray at this time that you'd bless the reading of your word, that the truths that you would desire to be brought forth would be brought forth, nothing more or less. And God, that you'd receive the glory from all that's done and said today. We love you, Lord, and we need your help. We surrender ourselves to your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a few brief points. I will try to be brief. I pray that God would give clarity today and that this would be an encouragement to your heart, Corey, and instruction to us all. Just a little context, because I think it's important. In chapter 8, Paul answers a question that those at Corinth had about eating meat or eating food that had been offered to idols. So there was a question that if an offering of food was offered to an idol god, was it okay then for a Christian to partake in that food? It's a good question. I think it's applicable while we don't have that same instance. I think it's applicable in many instances in our own walk today. But they asked that question and Paul addressed it. And some things that he said there, and we won't cover it all, but he said the idol's nothing, right? These idols that this food is being offered to, the idol is nothing but the creation of man's hands. There's no power in it. It's not a god. It is nothing. And because of that, you can eat with a free conscience the things that have been offered to this idol, because the idol's nothing. So really, he was saying that we have the right to eat that food. But as he comes down to the end of the chapter, he makes his point in declaring all of this. First, the very last verse, he says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." So he makes the point, and rightfully so, that he had a right and the people had a right to eat the meat offered to idols. But in the end, he said, "I will not eat the meat. I will surrender my right to eat that meat on behalf of my brother. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to become a stumbling block that they would sin against Christ. So I am willing to sacrifice my right or my power to do that on behalf of my brother." And Paul was willing to do that. And then we come to chapter 9, and he begins to talk about the right of the minister to receive maintenance or to receive pay for the things that they do. That the pastors and the apostles, they had the right to receive financial benefit from their spiritual work, and that they should be supported and they have a right to do so. And he lays it out very systematically and he lays it out very biblically and very strongly that ministers should be supported for their work. But then he gets down a little ways, verse 12, halfway through it, he says, "Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." So he makes the point, and he makes it very profoundly and clearly, that the Bible says to the churches to support the work of the ministry and to pay them. But at the end, Paul says, "But I have not taken any of these things from you, lest I should hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ." And Paul made a choice to not take the maintenance from the church so that no one could bring accusation and the gospel could go forth unhindered. Well, then we get to verse 19 again. He begins to talk about a right that he has, yet a right that he has surrendered. Verse 19 says, "For though I be free from all men, Yet I have made myself a servant unto all. Paul had no legal obligation to any man in any way, shape, or form. It was not, he did not owe anyone. He was not in debt to anyone. He had no legal demand or right to have to be in service to anyone else. He was free from any of those obligations. No man would have ever brought charge against him for anything like that. He was free as can be. But he says, though I be free from all men, I have made myself a servant unto all. He had given away his rights of personal independence and personal freedom for the sake of serving all. Corey, you don't owe anyone in here anything. You are a free man by every means. You have been made free. And you don't have an obligation to anyone to do anything. But I pray, as Paul surrendered those rights of freedom and personal independence, that you'd be willing to give yourself to Christ and be willing to give yourself a servant to all.
Amen.
Deacons have been called to serve, just as ministers have been called to serve, and your office is just that. We live in a day and age where people want to hold on to their rights, right? I have a right to do this. You can't tell me to do that because that fringes on my rights. Listen, Corey, you may have those feelings, and the church may have those feelings, and we may at times be a victim of the culture that we live in. But we, as the true and the church of the true and living God, have to be willing to surrender our rights, surrender the things that we think are due to us, though they may very well be. Yet we need to be willing to deny ourselves and to serve all. I think sometimes we expect God's power and God's blessing without any sacrifice on our behalf. There is a cost to discipleship. The brother talked about it earlier, and the Bible says it through and through. We should never paint the gospel as just rainbows and lollipops and that everything's going to be all right. Right? That is not at all the gospel that Jesus preached or the things that he taught his disciples. If we want the power of God to be amongst us, and if we want the blessings of God to rain upon us, then there will have to be a cost and a sacrifice paid by his followers.
Amen.
Corey, if you want the Lord to bless your office of deacon and your service within the church, it's going to come at cost and sacrifice to you personally and as a family. Sister Jess, on the same. There will be cost and there will be sacrifice. There will be nights where you'll have to give up the presence of your husband as he serves the church and he serves others and becomes a servant. And I've seen in my own home, in my own ministry, how that can add responsibility to your plate. And that can add a lot of frustration and hardship because he is away. But we need to be willing to sacrifice those things and to surrender our rights for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Corey, there are times where you will be treated unfairly. There will be times when people will say things that they shouldn't say. Let it be so. Let us suffer the loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, what? Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. I think an important distinction to be made is that you are a servant to all, but they are not your master. That's an important distinction in the ministry, in the office of deacon, in the Lord's service. You have been called to serve the church, but the church is not your master. Christ Jesus is your master. You follow his lead. You follow his direction. You'll be obedient to him. And there are times where you do have to say no, and you do have to take a strong stand, because Christ is your captain. Christ is your king.
Amen.
So you serve all, yet Christ is the master, not everyone else. For what purpose do we do this? What purpose was Paul willing to lay down his personal rights? He said there at the second part of 19, for though I be free from all men, yet I've made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more, that I might win the more. Listen, brothers and sisters, the church of the true and living God is still in the business of winning souls.
Amen.
And let us not forget that. There are works that we do in edifying the church. There are works that we do that are menial as far as labor and things of that nature. But our purpose is soul winning. And we cannot lose sight of that as the church of the God. Listen, we are in the business of soul winning. In the office of a deacon, there are a lot of practical tasks that you have to do. But don't lose sight of the fact that those practical tasks serve a spiritual purpose and that the souls of the lost are in balance, and you are doing a work that promotes the gospel and makes the gospel to be preached unhindered, unchained. And so when you're doing those things and no one's patting you on the back, or you don't see how it fits into the big picture, know that God has set you within the church for a purpose of the gospel being free and being preached, and so that souls would be saved by the grace of God. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, that I might win. That word gain means to win. I don't think we need to be scared of saying that as God's people. We want to win souls. I want to see people saved. I have a hunger in my heart, and I pray that you would, Corey, as a deacon in the churches that are represented here, would have a hunger and a desire in our heart for those that are lost in darkness, that are headed for hell, to be delivered by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and to have an inheritance in heaven, and to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. We want to win souls. We're not just here to influence. We're not just here to make ourselves seen. We're here to win souls. And I pray that God would help us to find our role and find our place in doing that very thing. So he goes on in this same context, and he says, "And to the Jew I became as the Jew, that I might win the Jew. To the one without the law I became like one without the law, that I might win those that are without the law." He said, "To the weak I became like the weak, that I would win the weak. To all men I became all things, that I might win some more." So what is he talking about there? That's hard. That was hard for me the first time I read it. What exactly does that mean, becoming all things to all men? And you're reasonable people, you'll need to study it for yourselves. But there's some things that I think are important to understand. First of all, what does it not mean? It does not mean becoming immoral to reach the immoral. Right? That would contradict all of Paul's ministry and his teachings and his epistles, to live lives that are pleasing to Christ and that magnify Jesus and be obedient to him. So Paul in no way was saying that you need to become immoral to reach the immoral, right? We don't go and partake in the things of sinners to win sinners. That is not at all what Paul was talking about. He was not talking about watering down the gospel or being theologically inaccurate. Okay? He wasn't saying, all right, we need to twist and manipulate the words of God and the truths of his word to try to win other people. We know that, right? But is that not what we see all around us? Is people perverting the gospel of the Lord in order to win people? Yet they're winning them by attendance, but not winning them eternally in their souls? So Paul was not talking about becoming immoral or messing with theology or the truths of God's word. In no way. But I believe in all other ways that are neutrally moral and neutrally theological, he was saying, be flexible and adaptable so that you may win souls.
Amen.
Consider that for a little bit. Because that, I mean, if I'm honest with myself and the history of the church that I've been brought up in, sometimes we are unwilling to do that. We stand very stern on things that are not morally or theologically significant, and in that we run people away.
Amen.
Paul said, I become all things, all people. We need to be meeting people where they are, as opposed to making other people come and meet us where we are. Sometimes we try to turn them into Baptists before we talk about the saving grace of God that can deliver their souls from hell.
Amen.
We need to become all things to all men. I've gone to Ghana a couple of summers, and one thing that is tradition there in Ghana is that when you arrive, when they welcome you in, they ask you what your purpose in coming to Ghana is. You have to state your purpose in being there. And the last time I went, this scripture was weighing upon my heart, and my purpose was to become an African to win an African. And they said, what's your purpose? I said, I want to become like an African to win an African. And I remember praying that prayer, and my brothers gave me a hard time and laughed at me when they heard me praying to be an African. But my heart is that I wasn't trying to change their culture. I wasn't trying to change their traditions. I wasn't trying to make them act or be a certain way because I thought that to be right. But I wanted to be like them, that I could share the eternal truths of Jesus Christ with them.
Amen.
And as churches, we must be willing to be flexible and adaptable to meet people where they're at. Does that mean change morally? Absolutely not. Does it mean to change our theology? In no way. In no way. But he said to the weak, I became as the weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might be by all, that I might by all means save some. Corey, there takes some adaptability and flexibility in the office of a deacon. You stand on the truths of the scripture and you don't move. You stand on those moral issues that Christ has taught us to stand on and you don't move. But sometimes you're going to have to adapt and be flexible because people's souls are on the line. You're going to have to weep with people when they weep, and you can rejoice with people when they rejoice. You suffer with people when they suffer, and you rejoice with them when they rejoice. But be willing to cross the bridge to them instead of making them cross the bridge to you. Becoming all things to all people. He goes on to give some good instruction, and we'll finish with these last few verses just briefly. First of all, he said, why does he do this? And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. And he goes on and to give this analogy of an athlete. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery and is temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth at the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I think this is an analogy that we can all understand. Most of us, especially in our culture, know about sports, and some of us like it a lot and watch it. When you think about the most elite athletes in the world and you look at their lives and how they structure the things that they do, it's really hard to believe sometimes, right? You pull the greatest athletes from all of the different sports and you see their workout routine, you'd be amazed, right? The way that they're disciplined and the things that they do is hard to wrap your head around. They bring their bodies under subjection in their workouts, in their diets, in their sleeping routines, in their practice, in their preparation for games. They train their minds and they train their hearts and they do all of these things that are just above and beyond to become these elite athletes. And ultimately, why do they do those things? They do it to win a corruptible crown, is what it says. To win something that is really temporary. Who won the 1987 Super Bowl? Anybody know? There's going to be some sports people in here and this is going to backfire, I'm sure. But does anyone know who won the 1987 Super Bowl? Does anyone know who won the 1996 NBA Championship? Well, the Bulls won all those. So I should change that. But you get what I'm saying, right? If I went through and asked you all these years and all these sports, for the most people in the entire world, they could not tell you who won. For that moment, for that time, if you were a fan of that team, you celebrated and you were excited and that was great. But at the end of the day, those things don't have any eternal purpose. They were temporary and sure they can be fun and sure we can enjoy those things, but they were for nothing. And these men and these women, they give their bodies to this. They give their minds to this. They dedicate themselves. They are driven to these things to win a prize that is simply temporary and that fadeth away. Corey, we are serving the Lord for not anything that is temporary, but for something that is eternal. The work that we are doing does not fade away, but it will go on forever. There are souls in the balance, and we have been called to be soul winners for Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would give ourselves with that kind of devotion, with that kind of dedication, with that kind of discipline of mind and body for the purpose of that which does not fade away. May God use us for His kingdom. May He use us for advancing the causes of Jesus Christ. And may He use us as tools to win souls for Jesus. May God richly bless you, Corey. I pray that He spoke to you in some way, and I pray that He blesses our churches. May God bless you.